Ah, thank you for coming. I expect another 5 to maybe 10 people may show up. Yes. Today we have Councilmember Pollard, and he's got a lot of good news for us. So, I was hoping to give him a little more time before we started. But, we've been real lucky. This last council member, Laster, and now with council member Pollard, it's amazing when a council member cares about people. They do things for the community. And I think the only council member that I had ever seen come over here before was when he came to the board to convince us that that pumping station was not going to smell. I didn't believe it, but some of the board did. But it's not that we could stop it either. But we just didn't have council members. We're a small community, and so we've been extremely lucky for, this is going on 8 years, no, 10 years? 8 years, 9 years. So, Councilmember Pollard?
Thank you, man. Well, good evening to everyone.
Good evening
to everyone.
Good evening.
All right, so have some updates. I've been getting emails from some of you all on different issues and concerns regarding the neighborhood, primarily around public safety, as well as some speeding concerns through the neighborhood as well. And so I want to kind of just go through everything and give you an update from our office on some of the things you can expect, and then we can have some dialogue so I can hear from you your ideas and things that are going on as well, okay? First is the Braeburn Glen Park, all right? That was chosen by the mayor through his 50-50 initiative to be able to do a public-private partnership for 50 parks all over the city. And we were focusing on neighborhood parks, so not the really big signature parks, but the smaller parks in the community. And Braeburn Glen Park was picked as one of those parks, and the improvements are slated for this year. And so what is proposed for the improvements is going to be an updated playground, renovated volleyball courts, a designated picnic area and benches, and a walking trail, as well as a fence along Braes Bayou Greenway, which I believe will have opening for people to get to the trail. Permitting is underway, and construction is expected to start this spring, so probably in a couple months, with completion by sometime in the fall, okay? So as the details and specifics continue to unfold with dates, we'll abreast the neighborhood of that. I'll check on that, all right. Take the notes, and whatever at the end are things that you all have questions about that I don't have answers for you today, I will take that back to Public Works and to the city and get you an answer, okay? Speed cushions. We've been hearing a lot about the speeding in the area. The original request was for 8 speed cushions, 2 on Valley View, 2 on Reamer, and 2 2 on Valley View, 2 on Reamer, 2 on Shadow Crest, and another two on Reamer. After further discussion with the community and Houston Public Works, we have been informed of an opportunity to install an additional 2, which will be on Aerial. All right, so those speed cushions should be coming to the community with the work starting in March. And our office is going to be paying for all those speed cushions through our council district service funds, which are your tax dollars. So in total, we'll have 10 speed cushions coming to the community. We did look in trying to get a request in for 2 additional speed cushions on Imogene and Jason, but we were denied that. So we're going to move forward with the 10 that we have, and then, of course, we can keep advocating for more going forward. Okay.
What determined the streets that are going to get as
decreases? What were the factors?
So we hear from the community. They put in their preferred locations. And then Public Works also comes out here and does a survey. And they look at the street conditions. They'll look at speeding. And they'll look at how much traffic is going in each direction. And then based on all of that, they'll decide on the different locations. And then they'll put it out to the community for you all to know, to get some feedback. And then they'll ultimately decide on where they will be. Are there some specific areas that...
Yeah, so my mom, she lives on Berkeley.
Okay.
She does
speed limits, but I'm... Is
your mom the one speeding, you said? She lives on Berkeley, but there's a few houses on that street.
Okay.
With cars that...
Multiple cars.
Yeah. Well, besides multiple cars, because my sister still lives at home, so there's four cars in the house.
Okay.
But, regardless, what I was going to say is that there's a car speeding through that street all the time. And I'm always visiting my mom, so I tend to see the cars come through. And there's specific houses on that street where there's business cars with trailers.
Okay.
And those trucks will haul their trailer, like if they're going on a highway, on that street. So that's why I was asking, like, what my concern is, how did you guys measure the incoming traffic that goes through the street?
Yeah. A lot of it starts from you all, knowing that information helps. So as we advocate for more speed bumps to come to the area, we'd like to hear from you and others that think that would be a great location, so we can get that over to Public Works, and maybe on phase two with these additional two that we're trying to do, we can bring those as well.
So Birdwood's not included in this
version? No.
Which one?
Birdwood's included. Yeah, Birdwood is.
Hold on.
Shadowcrest, Birdwood, Ariel, and Valley View.
So in, on here, they may have made a mistake because they have Reamer twice.
Okay.
But let me verify.
Now, they got a mark on Ariel, Birdwood.
I think I have a map. All right, you all are right. Hold on, I have a map. Birdwood is on there. Birdwood and Brayburn Glen.
Well, they've got two on each street. Ariel.
Oh, I see. You're right. You have Birdwood, Shadowcrest, and Reamer.
And then
you have them on Valley View. That's
and
it.
That's
good.
Okay.
Interject on your Jason Street and your Ramsey.
Okay.
Just to let you know that Jason does not come to loop around to get around.
Okay.
So to Mahoney to get out of the neighborhood. They come down yesterday, Jason, and go all the way around the loop. And they basically went, I've been told that you guys, not you guys, but the permanent department, the people who charge this project, will not allow it to be adjacent to the size of the street. And I mean to tell you, the size of the street does not determine the speed of traffic. And I'm sure you've been told that.
So let's just continue to advocate for that, all right? The more I hear from you all, I can reach out and say, the more I hear from you on that particular issue, it'll give us an opportunity to go back. All right.
So I did a CVS service fund request on that.
Okay.
2 years ago. Council Business Service Fund request on that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So then I just got word from the neighborhood call that they cannot be done because they're back inside the street.
And I don't know the dynamics. I know by city ordinance and some code they have specific parameters around which streets are eligible for these speed cushions. So that could be the reason why, but if it's something that we need to revisit to maybe amend it because of these type of issues, that's where the community will be able to help me to try to make that happen.
I'll recap with me, and I'll be on the streets.
But to recap for you all, and this is Bert Levine, his wife Sandra from my office, it's going to be two on Valley View, two on Reamer, two on Shadowcrest, and two on Birdwood. All right, cool. Thank you for bringing that up. Next up is The Braeburn Glen Flood Mitigation Project, huge project that we've been advocating for. I remember when I first came into office, we had like a virtual town hall during COVID, and the city kind of gave a lackluster presentation, in my opinion, on ways in which to mitigate flooding in the area. And you all were very vocal about how many homes flood during heavy rains and storms, and that we need something more significant than just a Band-Aid. And so our office really started to advocate to try to get a significant project for this area to mitigate flooding. And we were able to get a $6 million flood project for this area using a lot of federal dollars. And it was, we had to be really creative on how we were to get those dollars. An update on that project is it's currently in the engineering and design phase right now, right, where they're going to go through every street, understand the infrastructure and the drainage, and they're going to put together a design. And then that design will go through review, and then they will be expected to have groundbreaking on that project in about a year. Okay, so I know things take long with government. We wish we could get it to start overnight, but it was based on you all's concerns and your voices that even allowed us to have a possibility to get a project of this size for this community. And we've been on top of it, trying to push them to try to expedite as much as they're as much as possible, but they are working on it. So it is in the design and engineering phase right now. Recently, as I said, we were getting a lot of emails from this community on gunfire and just a lot of random shooting in the neighborhood and around the area. And so we started to try to brainstorm as an office on what could we do to alleviate that issue. That's a very complicated issue, right? Because sometimes you don't know where the shots are coming from, why they're being shot in the first place. And so right now we already have out the flock cameras, which are the license plate reader cameras. And those are cameras that help HPD get notified when a vehicle that has been reported to be in a crime is in the area and goes through that intersection or street. They get alerted so that they can start their investigation. And what we do know is that many of the crimes that happen in the area are done by people in stolen vehicles. They're stealing vehicles, and then they commit the crimes to try to hide their identity. And so usually if your car is stolen, you're going to call in the HPD and say, hey, my car was stolen. This is the make and model. This is the license plate. Now it's in their database. All right. And so we have flock cameras that are at the perimeter of you all's neighborhood. We have locations at Gessner and 59, Bissonnette and Gessner area, as well as the Bissonnette and Braeswood area. All right. The cameras are meant to be in high traffic areas where cars have to go in different locations and directions, but they're not really made for inside of the neighborhood. All right. But once you exit out that neighborhood and you can go only in certain directions, those cameras hopefully will be there to capture the vehicles. The second thing that we're thinking of now, because those are already installed, so it's important to make sure you continue to report to HPD. But the second thing that we are considering trying to find the funding for, based on your request, is a new technology called ShotSpotter. And what ShotSpotter is technology that can detect where the gunfire has come from. Okay? And it usually has a half a mile radius, and within 30 seconds, what I've been told is they would be able to detect if it was true gunfire, and HPD will have an app or some software to where it will be routed to them, and then they won't have to spend all day figuring out where did this gunshot maybe come from, but they can get to the scene a little faster, start their investigation, ask questions. And we can use that not only to be a deterrent, but also give you all more insight on where the gunfire may be happening. The way that we are proposing to try to fund that is some through our office, and then some through the management districts around the area. You all, I don't think, are in a management district.
Split between two.
Are you split between two? So,
yeah.
But are you on the boundary line of each?
Both.
We're inside Great Oaks,
The neighborhood itself?
Yes.
Okay.
But the split line is down the middle of Gatlin. And the freeway and this and that.
So if you come down South Gatlin from freeway, the left side of the street will be Bruce Oaks. The right side will be Sharp's.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, that's a benefit to you all then, because...
And then it kind of splits right there at the this and that.
Okay. The reason I ask that is because we're going to reach out to the management districts to try to leverage the rest of the money. And since you all are close to two or into a greater possibility for the shot spotter to be in a close proximity to your neighborhood. All right. So we're in discussions with Southwest Management District. We'll be in discussions with Braves Oaks as well as the Gulfton Management District. And since our district is so compact, that we're hoping that we can put together a strategy within all three of those management districts that they can strategically put the shot spotter in areas that we can get the most bang for our buck. All right. So that's kind of our idea from a identification standpoint of where the shots are coming from. So when you all email our office, you'll have can have more certainty and assurance that, you know, although an officer cannot be on every corner of every day, that there's technology that's out there aiding them on trying to help catch the bad guys or at least identify a location where the shots may have come from. But more importantly than that, we wanted to hear from you because you all are the ones that are experiencing it every day on ideas that you may have for our office that we should look into beyond what we spoke about. And I wanted to use this as an opportunity to listen. So if there's any questions regarding what I've spoke about already or any dialogue that you all want to begin based on ideas that you have that our office needs to consider, I'd like to hear. Yes, ma'am.
On the flood part, is there anything we can do, because I think we sent you pictures just that last rain, how bad my street flooded halfway down, and it's Kessner. Those lawn companies come through here, they do their mowing, and they blow their stuff down with gutters. Is there anything to do to find these building owners for having people out there who can't get the companies, or, you know, even, I mean, I go out and shame the people doing my neighbor's yards and tell them don't do it. But that's not going to stop.
Yeah, there is a proposed ordinance right now that's before the mayor's administration that looks at commercial landscaping companies and requires them to pay a permitting fee to do work, and then that money from the fee will go towards cleaning out the drains and just updated maintenance on our sewer system and our drainage. As a way to ensure that since they're the ones that are blowing the debris into the drains, that we have enough money and capacity to actually maintain it. I have not gotten an update on if and when he will bring that forward, but that is a discussion that's at City Hall right now. So if you send me an email on that for a follow-up, I'll reach out to his office and see what is said.
Because I even see people out there, they're getting ready to mow the yard. The first thing they do is they blow all the leaves into the street.
Yeah.
Then they mow the yard.
So, and this particular ordinance will really only focus on the commercial landscapers and not the residential. But hopefully we can all be good neighbors to each other and understand when we're doing that to our own neighborhood, we're just causing more flood risk. Yes, sir.
Now, I hear a lot about the money that the city is providing for these projects, but what's Harris County's role in all this? Did they get any money or not?
So, a couple years ago, you all voted on Harris County Flood Control District bonds. I think it was like a $250 maybe million-dollar bond or a $2.5 billion bond, something like that. And those bonds have been going towards much larger projects, specifically like Braes Bayou and all the infrastructure improvements around there. And I think initially with our meeting with you all a couple years ago, that was the issue, that you all had voted for these bonds and don't seem like you're getting any return for it. And the feedback that we were getting from the county was, you know, we're focusing on this larger strategy with these huge projects that cost 30, $60 million, and you all were saying, well, what about our neighborhood, though? We want to get something now, and that's why we started focusing on this $6 million project that's specifically only for your neighborhood, and that's going to be federal money. So to answer your question directly, for that project, we're not, to my knowledge, getting any dollars from Harris County or through that bond, but their money is supposed to be going towards more towards the Bayou system and the flow there. I wish we were. Yeah,
right now there is a project on Keegan's Bayou that has gone into, and it's part of that bond issue, it's gone into, I think, phase three.
Okay.
And I haven't seen an update on it. But I know part of that project and that funding, the bond issue, is studying widening Grace Bayou above Fondren.
Yes.
In our direction.
Yeah, that is true, because thus far I think all of the projects have been going on the opposite side of Fondren, going towards Hillcroft, Chimney Rock, South Rice, and this next phase should be going in the other direction towards Kessler. So we can get an update from you all on that. If someone wants to send me a follow-up reminder email, I'll try to get you a response. Yes, sir.
There's another thing that people here probably don't realize is that there was a park and detention pond built by Southwest Management District just on the other side of the Toyota dealership.
What's your question about that?
There's a detention. I don't know how many acres it is.
Are you talking about Club Creek?
Club Creek Park and detention.
So, yeah, that's a huge project for the area. $13 million project that's going to bring a detention site as well as parks, hike and bike trails, playground equipment, a real true, I think, amenity for this area. And it's going to be off of Club Creek between the old Westwood Mall and that Westwood golf course. And it's almost complete, yeah. But so what we're doing is making that area a priority for our for the next couple of years. We know it's not going to be overnight, so I'm not going to pretend. But so we know about the issues with the prostitution, the drug activity. But we're starting from a infrastructure standpoint, right? Starting with the infrastructure about the streets, the detention, the lighting. Bissonnette just got a $30 million federal grant that came to the city, the largest in the state. Recently, I'm not sure if you all heard that, but it's going to be for street improvements on Bissonnette between Derry Ashford and Hillcroft. And some of the projected renderings of that look really nice. And so, you know, my vision for it all is we have to create an environment that's attractive for people to want to come first. So the area has to be attractive, then the families will come, maybe the businesses will come. But the conditions of everything right now are not where we want them to be. And then putting a strategy together when we work with HPD and some of the other law enforcement agencies is to bring more presence to that area. So we have HPD, the constables, sheriffs, Metro, A-Leaf ISD, and we've all kind of met on figuring a way to utilize our numbers better, right? When we do have presence out there, you feel it. You feel it. You feel a difference. There isn't as much visibility of some of the ills that we see. But when we don't focus as much attention over there, which is almost impossible to do because it's a big city and a lot of issues, then you start to see it come back. So we have to figure out a strategy, in my opinion, working with all the law enforcement agencies in a collective way to keep the presence consistent with one strategy. And so through the TERS, that TERS 20, their boundary lines expanded into that area. And so we're hoping to utilize that for more lighting, more cameras, to deter some of that activity that's there. So It's been an issue for a while. We're slowly starting to see improvements to that area. The BMW dealership came on. They've been a good partner. The Westwood Golf Course wants to clean up the area. The Higher Dimension Church that's back there, they've been a good community partner. We're thinking about the city or the church is thinking about buying more land. The church is thinking about buying some of those apartment complexes that are in that area. So positive changes are happening. To an area that's been neglected for a long time, so we just got to keep pushing. Yes, ma'am. Did you have your hand up? David, did you have?
Yeah, I just wondered if you can elaborate about the ride along we did for yesterday.
Oh, so yeah, we did a, David and I did a ride along several months ago on just the conditions of Gessner between 59 and Beechnut. In that whole corridor, I was told, because I knew you were going to ask that question. David Brizuela, who's in my office, who is the Director of Constituent Services, he says that the details of that are still being vetted by Houston Public Works, and we should have a final, I guess, proposal of what they're going to be doing by the end of April. So at my next meeting in the next couple months when I come back, I should have some specifics for you on that. But based on our ride along is why we push that area as a priority for street improvements. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
I apologize, I got here a little bit late and I'm not sure if we discussed the crime in the area, but we got broken into on Tuesday. My daughter is not there. We had to move into the house without somebody being there. They came into the back. We have a neighbor on one side that's in a vacant house right now because the house hasn't been repaired since Harvey. And so the backyard is a chain link fence, and we back up to the tennis courts and the bayou. So if anybody broke into the, they broke into a back bedroom window. They broke it, busted it, came in. It hasn't been kids. They took all my grandson's electronics, cameras, watches, his bicycle, brand new Christmas, you know, can't even grip it yet. And then our computers. And so, we're still looking. We keep finding iPods, air pods. They took at least $6,000-$10,000 worth of electronics. And so, I know that there are homeless people. And we called the police officers at 6 o'clock. We made a 911 call. They showed up at 10:30 that night. and it was too dark. So I went back with a flashlight and we showed them where the window was broken. And he just gave me a police report and told me to give them a letter of what was taken and follow up on it. But I was telling him that there's people living under that bridge, and we deal with them every day. They come out, and there's people that are doing drugs in there, and I said, I don't know why they need to put a light up that bridge under that body, or have somebody, you know, put cameras there or something, because they're coming in and out of there. The prostitution from this corner, I was going to say, this is that prostitution, has come all the way to Gessner. Okay? But there's prostitutes right here at this, and they come into this car wash, they do little jobs 2-3 in the morning, we come home late, we can see them parked with the doors open and they're going at it.
Okay.
And so, and they're walking the street. When I take my back to the school in the morning, he wants to know why the ladies are walking naked in the street with no clothes on. And I'm saying, I can explain that to him. I said, well, he said, we need to call the police, you know, because actually they shouldn't be going around naked. And I explained that to the police officer. I said, I know my daughter, she's so frustrated that she thought that we moved in here in 2010 and she thought it would be a nice place to bring up a child. It was a really nice neighborhood, we thought. But she decided to challenge the prostitutes one night over there. Because you can see, the guys are driving up and they're just lining up. You know what's going on. Everybody can see it. I can't understand why they can't stop it. They all line up on this journal right there at that Burger King and go to that Outway Hotel, and they don't do anything about it. So my daughter was taking pictures of the John's cars, getting license plate numbers, and I'm going to look these up. I'm going to post them on Facebook and let these people know who's coming out here. And one of the women was started tapping in her car. And so she put a window down and told them, hey, I'm not coming after you. I'm trying to get these Johns. I said, because they're not doing you any favors. And the lady just pepper sprayed her. And it was home-style pepper spray. It was really caustic, you know. And so she came home and she was like burning up. And I said, call, it's an assault. Call the police. Did you get the name of the person? Said, Mom, it's not worth it. I'm ready to move.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this. And that's what I was telling the police officer. I know y'all can stop it.
Well,
I know, but if I had the money, I would stop them by now. But the people in these apartments, these townhomes right here, they were able to put a law on it for a while because they used to sit in that corner and they had brick all along those trees, and the women would sit there and wait for their jobs. And the car on our street, we would come up and be lined up right there, trying to wait for somebody, and then they'd get into their cars and take her, and then they'd have to be put our lights on and say, hey, what are you doing? And they would freak out and cuss us out and honk at us, and then they would take off. But I don't know what they decided to do. They removed all those bricks, and they put the sign that said no trespassing, and they put up more lights on the streets, and they kind of went away for a while.
Okay.
But they're back full force again, you know.
So and what we've been doing, and thank you for that, and I'm sorry to hear about your situation, the break-in and the prostitution issue. Just to expand a little bit on it, law enforcement, they are cracking down on the prostitution. You can see the level of cases that the district attorney's office is prosecuting on a monthly basis has gone up. But the issue is they're right back on the street like a day or two later. And so there's nothing really to deter them from that criminal activity because they know that they'll be right back. And then right when we find these hot spots, like on Bissonnette, to where we put police presence and a strategy, then they'll move and they'll go somewhere else. And before you know it, all we're doing is just shifting them around. So yeah, we may get them out of your area today, and then the people in Westwood are complaining tomorrow, then the people in Sharptown are complaining the next week. And so it's been a very complex issue since I've come into office a few years ago to try to decrease the amount of prostitution that we see. We went up on the sentencing or the offense for solicitation of a prostitute. It is now a felony, and we are going after the Johns for them to know that this won't be a simple misdemeanor anymore. That kind of calmed things down for a little bit, and then people kind of got back to business as usual. But as it pertains to what HPD can do, response times, what's going on under the bridge, I wanted to bring up or have Officer Ayala address that from HPD's standpoint.
Right. So I'm Officer Ayala. I'm a set Southwestern ERT. I'm under Sergeant Juarez and Sergeant Nickerson. I've been with DRT for about 4 years now. And I think I was here maybe about 2 years ago. I want to say we did like I think it was for a Christmas event or something, but something I thought about was I really want everyone to kind of understand how the police works, how response time works, because I know you're frustrated about how, you know, you call the police, they don't show up till 10:30 p.m. We do want to explain the reasoning behind that. I know if it was my house, I'd want them there immediately, right? But I do want everyone to understand how response times work, because there is a system to it. I'm thinking about conducting a safety meeting here, and we can get something scheduled in next month, or in April where we have a big attendance. I do want to bring up several topics. As far as your property, that's something that the DRT unit, if you invite us over to your home, we can just kind of do a survey. This is something that we do for apartment complexes. I don't see why we can't do it for someone's house if they're experiencing that constant break-in. I definitely, if you reach out to me, I can give you my email address. We can get something scheduled where we come out here and give you some suggestions. Kind of look around to see what the environment is, right? Daytime and evening time, and give you some suggestions on that. As far as crime, I mean, it's everywhere, right? I mean, it's in my neighborhood. And the only thing that we can do is, and I'm a police officer, right? My car has been broken into. The only thing that we want to do is make sure that we prevent everything to make them, because crime suspects, they're typically just looking for an opportunity, right? The opportunity that we give them, right? And if it's dark, and it's not lighted, and if there's no cameras, if there's no spotlight, that's something typically that they kind of gear towards. My camera in my house, and I'm paranoid, right? But because I'm a cop, I know kind of how things work. They really go after these type of places.
that people aren't really looking into because they don't want to get caught. Alarm systems too. Alarm systems, if you have an alarm system, that's great. But it does take, before the police is notified, before the police is notified,